I wanted to start a series, a study, that, if the Lord wills, will last a few Sunday nights, that looks at the letter Paul wrote to the Galatians. In about A.D. 52 or 54, Paul most likely wrote this letter. Some people will date the letter a little bit later. It seems to me the best chronology that's been set forth puts it around 52 or 54. When I was a boy, we used to study the life of Paul. We studied it in three parts: the life before the missionary journeys, the missionary journeys, and the life after. And I thought, as sort of an introduction to this study, we would look at the life of Paul, just as a brief overview, up to about the time of the writing of this letter. So let's take just a quick look at the life of Paul. Paul was born Saul. He was born a Jew from Tarsus in Cilicia. Evidence would suggest his family wasn't originally from there, but that's where they were living when he was born. He was educated at the feet of a prominent teacher named Gamaliel. His father was a Pharisee of the strictest sect of the Jews, and that is the same course that Saul took. He became a Pharisee. He was born a free Roman citizen, meaning that his father was a Roman citizen. He did not purchase his citizenship. His father may have, I don't know, but not Saul. He was born free as a Roman. He was a man, by his own definition, who was zealous toward the Lord. He advanced beyond many of his contemporaries in his efforts in Judaism. And then about A.D. 29 or 30, Jesus was crucified. It is a pivotal point in the life of every Jew. Saul, as the church began to persecute the church. He was making every effort he could to destroy the church. He rejected Jesus as Messiah, not believing that he was God's son or the one they were looking for. He was converted about A.D. 31 or 32, probably. Some place his conversion, like they do the writing of the book, about 5 or 6 years later. Some say about A.D. 37. I think the chronology lines up better if we place it around A.D. 31 or 32, just a few years after Jesus has been crucified and the church has been established. When he was converted, he immediately began to preach in the synagogues in Damascus. That must have been very interesting. Here was a man who had vigorously fought against the church. Now, they know he came to Damascus to persecute them. But now he goes into the synagogues and begins to preach Christ. That's a very important point in his arguments with the Galatians, that he is an apostle and he learned the truth from Christ, not from any man. So that's an important thing to understand. He was converted and he immediately began to do the work of the Lord. He withdrew to Arabia. We don't know why. We don't know what he did there. We don't actually know how long he was there. But the Bible tells us he went to Arabia and then he returned to Damascus. 3 years after his conversion, and not a day before, he went to Jerusalem. He tells us that in Galatians 1. We have, I think, a record of it in Acts 9. When he was in Jerusalem, Barnabas spoke for him in an effort to allay the fears of those in Jerusalem 3 years after his conversion, still concerned about whether he was a genuine Christian. Was he a man to be trusted or a man to be feared? Barnabas speaks on his behalf. He's taken to Syria and then to Tarsus when Hellenists try to kill him, plot to kill him. Hellenists would have been Grecian Jews. And they, while he's in Jerusalem, plot to kill him. And as he learns of this, he's taken from Jerusalem for his own safety to Caesarea and then to Tarsus, where he had been born. He left Tarsus for Antioch in Syria with Barnabas. Barnabas came and persuaded him to come to Antioch in Syria. He stays there for a year. We have a record that the disciples were first called Christians there in Antioch. This would have been the time period when Paul and Barnabas were there working with the brethren. While he's there, Agabus comes and prophesies a famine. And the brethren determined to send relief to the Christians in Judea. It is sent by the hands of Saul and Barnabas. This is almost certainly the time that we read of when he is in Jerusalem after the 3 years. Saul and Barnabas are likely in Judea when Herod kills James and imprisons Peter. This would have been around AD 44, probably. They return to Antioch, taking John Mark with them as they go. And the missionary journeys begin in Acts 13. It's about 44 or 45. It's about 13 or 14 years after Paul's conversion. It's about the same time that Herod Agrippa I dies. He died, we know he died in AD 44. We have historical records of that. And it's about that same time. About 48 or 49, trouble arises from Judaizing teachers that begin to tell the Gentiles they've got to become Jews. And this trouble reaches Antioch. A Jerusalem council is held to discuss circumcision. That's what the Judaizers are teaching, that these Gentiles must be circumcised. They must become under the law, as it were, become a Jew under the law so that they can then become Christians. These things happen about 17 years after his conversion. This would be, he was there 3 years after his conversion. He was there 14 years after his conversion. So this would be about 17 years, the second time he's been in Jerusalem since his conversion. It would be for the Jerusalem Council, the discussion about circumcision. The facts help us to see very clearly that Paul received his knowledge from Jesus. We can look at the detail of his life that we have. We really have a fairly detailed account in Scripture. And there's no time that he could have sat down and studied for a year or two or three with the apostles. And he emphasizes that when he writes to the Galatians. And so as we understand his life, it's easy to see that what he's telling them is exactly what we have a record of in the Bible. He's an apostle as fully as any of the others, and he will defend that. When the letter to the Galatians begins, he says that he is an apostle not from men nor through men, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father. he will use some of this history to prove to them that he is an apostle and what he knows of the gospel came from Christ. He marvels at how quickly the Galatians have turned to false doctrine. I think that's really interesting. It astonishes him. He reminds them that there's only one gospel. There's only one doctrine. It is the one that Paul and others had preached to the Galatians. There's one, he will say. It's what I preach to you. It is the one that they had received. The preacher of any other gospel, then or now, was false and was to be accursed. He reminds them of his history and that his gospel is the gospel of God. It is of God. It is not of man. Paul had established churches in Galatia on his first missionary journey. If our timeline is right, that would fit very well about AD 44 or 45. He visited Antioch of Pisidia, Iconium, Lystra, Derbe, and other churches may have been established from these after he left. The Christians in those places may have taught and converted and established other churches. We don't know. He addresses his letter to the churches of Galatia. If you look at that map, you can see here is Antioch of Syria, and you can follow the arrowed lines. But Paul and Barnabas on their first missionary journey will leave Antioch of Syria. They will travel down to Seleucia, leave the port there, and they'll go to the island of Cyprus. They will travel across the island of Cyprus and up into the region of Lower Galatia and travel all the way up to Antioch of Pisidia and then come into these churches where he establishes churches in Iconium, Lystra, and Derbe, and then he will turn around and go back. That is the first missionary journey. If we look at that same map, you can see Tarsus, where Paul was born. Where Paul returned after he was in Jerusalem the first time before he went to Antioch in Syria with Barnabas. We can see the region there he's writing to where the churches of Galatia would have existed. And if you look to the left there, you can see Ephesus. Some believe this letter was written from Ephesus. Some believe other places, but we have that visible on our map. So you can see it there. He journeyed back to that area on the second missionary journey, about AD 50 or 51, and then again on his third missionary journey around AD 54. Many place the writing of this letter during Paul's time in Ephesus about the time of Acts 19, verse 10. And the 2 years when Luke says all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Our dating of 52 to 54, some place it later, but our dating puts the writing during his third journey, or possibly just prior to his third journey, while some date it as late as AD 57. One interesting historical note when you look at the timeline of Paul's life. Claudius died in October of 54, the Roman Emperor Claudius, and Nero became the Emperor of Rome. The remainder of Paul's life would have been during the reign of Nero. Some of the Christians in Galatia were Jews, but most of them, probably, were Gentiles. The trouble that arose in Antioch of Syria over circumcision happened between Paul's first missionary journey and his second missionary journey, around AD 48 or 49. The Jerusalem Council in Acts 15, guided no doubt by the influence of the Holy Spirit on those men who were there, determined circumcision to be unnecessary for Gentile Christians. And letters were written to the Gentile brethren. This is of the greatest importance to understand his marveling at the Galatians. Letters were sent to the Christians, the Gentile brethren, in Antioch, Syria, and Cilicia. It advised them that circumcision was unnecessary. Paul and Silas would have unquestionably either had copies of these letters with them when they traveled through preaching to the Gentiles, or they would have taught them of this decision and the importance of it to Gentile Christians as they went on their second journey. Paul writes this letter to the churches in Galatia to refute that very destructive teaching. Judaizing teachers coming in and trying to persuade them to turn back to the law. In Galatians 5, verses 2 and 3, Paul says, "Indeed I, Paul." The gravity of that is important. Paul is saying, "I, an apostle of God, indeed I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. If they will choose to put themselves under the bondage of one of the old commandments of the law of Moses, they are under the whole law." That's what Paul's trying to get them to understand. And it's something he has taught them. He has traveled through that region. He has told them of the Jerusalem Council. There's not a question in my mind of the truth of that. He's taught them. He's supported it. He's very likely shown them copies of the letters that were sent out as they went to these Gentile churches to show them that these very teachings were false. He will vigorously defend his own apostleship as he writes to these, because the false teachers were saying that he really wasn't an apostle. He will emphasize that he received the knowledge of this truth by revelation of Jesus Christ and didn't receive it from a man. He didn't sit down and study for a year or two or three to learn this. And while many people believe he wrote it from Ephesus, it may have been written from Antioch in Syria before he began that journey, or possibly earlier while he was in Corinth as he ended the second journey. He begins the letter, "Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren who are with me to the churches of Galatia. Grace and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age according to the will of our God and Father. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen." And that quickly, he says, "I marvel." He didn't waste any words. He introduced himself as the author. He bade them grace and peace. He acknowledged the oversight and lordship of Jesus. And he said, "I marvel that you're turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Separate yourself from him as one accursed. That's very strong language. But when you contemplate that Paul has traveled through this region, he has preached the gospel to these, converted them. Others have been through there. He's been back through there with Silas, and there's just no question in my mind that when he went back through with Silas, he talked to them about the decision that was made in Jerusalem, that circumcision is unnecessary, that it's not something that Gentiles have to do. He very probably showed them a copy of that decision and what had been sent out to the brethren. And now look what they're doing. And he says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon to another gospel, which is not another gospel. But some trouble you, some pervert the gospel of Christ. Even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than the one we have preached, let him be accursed. What we have preached to you. The second emphasis he makes, as we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. Paul makes a reference to his earlier time when he pleased men. And he said, if I still did that, I wouldn't be a servant of Jesus Christ. And he's going to talk to them to prove, as he begins to write this letter, he's going to talk to them in this letter to prove to them, to show them that he is an apostle of God and what he teaches comes from God. He ought not have to do that. That is the destructive nature of false teaching. But he has to lay a foundation again. He has to prove again to these who have turned away so soon. He says in verse 11, but I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. You see the emphasis he places on that? He started the letter that way. I'm an apostle, not by any man. And the things I teach, they didn't come from any man. He is establishing himself as an apostle again. And he wants to remind them, look at my life. There's never been a time that I could have met with the apostles and sat down and studied this gospel. He says in verse 13, you've heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it, and I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers. There's not a question in the world about that. 3 years after he was converted, he went to Jerusalem and Barnabas had to speak for him. That was his reputation. This man was known as one who wreaked havoc in the Church of Christ. That was widely known. And he tells them that they know this. You have heard of my former conduct. What's the power of that? I'll tell you what it is to me. What on earth happened? Here's an up-and-coming young man, zealous, advancing beyond many of his contemporaries, doesn't believe in this Jesus. He's out to destroy the church. He's out to arrest and have beaten and sometimes kill those who follow him. What happened? That would be the question. He says in verse 15, when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood, nor did I go to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. He wants them to understand this was not a conversion like normal people. This was not someone who's persuaded that Jesus is Christ and says, let me sit down with you and show me, let me learn all I can learn. He said, I didn't go to Jerusalem. I didn't meet with any of the apostles. In fact, he says, I went to Arabia. I wish we knew more about that, but we don't. What we know is there weren't apostles in Arabia. He went to Arabia. We know from Acts and from Galatians that he taught in the synagogues. He went to Arabia. He came back to Damascus. He didn't go to Jerusalem. He didn't confer with any other apostles. He says in verse 18, then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and remained with him 15 days. That would have been when they took the relief to Jerusalem. Barnabas and Saul took the relief for the Christians. He'd not been there before. It was 14 years before he was there again. So that places it when they took that relief. And when he went there, he says that he saw Peter. They remained there for 15 days with him. But he says, I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. And then he does a very human thing. He says, now concerning the things which I write to you indeed before God, I do not lie. As God is my witness, he would say, what I'm telling you is the truth. It's not a lie. That just really impresses me. Paul wouldn't have to tell me that. But in his day, he was Paul. He was that man that tried to destroy the church. He was to them like we are to one another. He was a man. That's why God endowed them with a portion of the Holy Spirit so they could persuade people that what they were saying was the truth. But he was writing to them. And so he told them, as God is my witness. It's kind of like, you know me. I've been there. I've taught there. I've been back through there. And as God is my witness, brethren, I am telling you the truth. I am not lying to you. He says in verse 21, afterward I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was unknown by face to the churches of Judea which were in Christ. But they were hearing only. He who formerly persecuted us now preaches the faith which once he tried to destroy, and they glorified God in me. What a story that must have been. He ties what he can to things they all know. They know him. They know his reputation as having been a persecutor of the church. And they know that he's come to them and preached the gospel. And he's marveling that they're turning away from what he has taught them and what he has proven them. And I go back to that history. If we don't study adequately the life of men like Paul, everything God gives us, we miss the idea that he's been there and preached. And he came back through there after the Jerusalem Council and unquestionably taught them what had been determined. They were Gentiles. This was a problem among Gentiles. He would have dealt with that issue, shown them the evidence he had, persuaded them that God has no intent for you to be circumcised. And yet, here they are, turning away from what they've been taught, turning away from what he taught them and what they had received. And he is rehearsing his life to prove to them that what he's teaching them is from God. Now, God did that when he was there in person, oftentimes with wonders, mighty signs, to show that what I'm saying is true. But he's writing a letter. And he's rehearsing his life story to prove to them. I would think that the accusations against Paul had to do with him having been in Jerusalem and having studied with the apostles, that he wasn't really an apostle, that this was all fake, and he's persuading them. I never had even an opportunity to do that. And so he writes to them, vigorously defending his conversion to Christ, his apostleship. He says in chapter 2, verse 1, after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and also took Titus with me. That would have been the Jerusalem council, 17 years after his conversion. And he says, I went up by revelation and communicated to them the gospel which I preached among the Gentiles, but privately to those who were of reputation, lest by any means I might run or had run in vain, yet not even Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. You want some proof? And I think he's talking to them about something he's talked to them before about. If not, he is proving to them yet again. Think about it. 14 years after that first time I was there, I went back. I took Titus with me. I met with those prominent people of reputation so that they would know what I had been doing. I taught publicly the work I had been doing with the Gentiles. We have a record of that in Acts 15. As he explains what he had done among Gentiles. And he points out that Titus, who was with me, who was a Greek, who had never been circumcised, was not required to be circumcised. He refutes the false doctrine that's been laid before them, the false doctrine that they are turning to. Oh, the destructive nature of false teaching, to tear down what's been built up, to steal away one's salvation. And sometimes people think, well, it's such a small thing. What difference does it make? Well, look at Paul's vigorous answer to that. What difference it makes? It's false teaching. And if you tie yourself to that law, you're tying yourself to all of the law, and then Christ is of no benefit to you whatsoever. If the Lord wills, we'll pick up there next week. No, Will is preaching next Sunday afternoon, Lord will. So the week after, unless Will wants to continue the study of Galatians, we will pick that back up. The salvation of each and every Christian was so precious to Paul. He would spend time going back through cities to edify and build up those who had been converted. He would write letters to deal with false doctrine. It was so important that those who started the race finished the race in faith. That continues to be of the greatest importance today, and it ought to be to me and to you as we look around with one another, that we all finish this race in faith. This lesson is not really about conversion or even faithfulness, really. But let us think, as we stand and sing a song of invitation, about the life we're living. And if you're not a Christian, how important that was to men like Paul, that everyone become a Christian, learn of Christ and believe in him and stay the course. And if you're stumbling along the way, privately or publicly, we invite you to respond while we sing.